Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Hiring? ZipRecruiter has revolutionized how you do it. Their technology identifies people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And by FreshBooks, the easy-to-use cloud accounting software for small business owners. Try it for free for 30 days at FreshBooks.com/AAA. And by IT Pro TV, binge-worthy learning for IT pros. Visit itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30 to get a free 7-day trial and 30% off a monthly membership for the lifetime of your active subscription.
Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 361 of All About Android, recorded live on March 20th, 2018. We are your weekly source for the latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I am Florence Ion.
And I'm Ron Richards. How you doing, Flo?
Did you notice I was trying a little John Oliver thing?
I did notice that. I did pick up on that. Good John Oliver.
I love the way he starts the show. And our guest today is none other than Cody Toombs from Android Police. Cody, thanks so much for joining us today.
Hey, guys. Good to be on.
How you doing?
Doing good.
I see your little Android squishy in the corner there.
Yes, yes. Literally landed in my hands at an event once.
Oh, well, that's kind of a nice little freebie to take home. Man, we've got a lot of stuff to cover for you guys today.
And we are down a man. Mr. Jason Howell is out on vacation. So we're going to try to make him proud by covering all the fun Android stuff. And I know he was really bummed to be missing you, Cody. Jason was really psyched to have you on the show. So you're going to have to come back when Jason is here.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. And we'll see if we can drag him out at I.O.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Indeed. Well, this week we're going to talk a lot about 3D sensing technology, some more Android P thoughts with our guest, Cody. The next flagship killer, quote unquote, from OnePlus, and plenty, plenty more. Victor, let's get started with the news.
I'm sensing, even without Jason, we got a 2-year lead on charisma. With Android News.
2-year lead?
Wow.
Wow.
Is that too generous?
That's a really high-end processor. Thanks. I appreciate that.
I really do. I think it's true.
I'm assuming it has a lot of space and storage as well, since we're keeping this on the Android train. So this is kind of a quiet story that actually I didn't hear until, Ron, you brought it to my attention today by placing it in the dock, which is that Apple has a 2-year lead, much like maybe I have on charisma, which I'm assuming is where we were going there, in 3D sensing. Now, we're talking about 3D sensing like Face ID, security type of 3D, 3D sensing. Tech research house Gartner predicted that by 2021, 40% of smartphones will be equipped with 3D cameras, but Apple's going to be the one effectively leading the pack at that time. China's Huawei, Xiaomi, and several others, they could be a total of almost 2 years behind Apple. I wonder what that says. What does that say? What does that say about us and our lack of face sensing technology?
Well, I think the interesting thing is that it doesn't say that Google is behind 2 years behind Apple. This is purely from like a hardware manufacturing standpoint and the advancements that Apple has done in betting on this technology, in that they've got a 2-year head start in the technology required to support that. I don't know, Gartner. I don't know how you feel about Gartner. Sometimes they say some stuff. Sometimes they're a little wacky. They definitely sometimes come off, at least to me, as a little pro Apple. But 40% of phones having 3D cameras by 2021, I think, is ridiculously aggressive, in my opinion.
I should add, it's not just security. It's also talking about augmented reality.
Yeah.
Just to put that out there. Cody?
You know, I always love seeing new technologies like this. They do such cool things and so much can happen with them. But I think I think this is one of those things where you don't have to be in front. You don't have to lead the pack on this. It's more one of those things where you just have to be across the finish line when the buzzer hits. And how long does that take? Like, what's going to happen? Like, right now, or sorry, I guess not right now, but when the iPhone X came out, everyone was freaking out about Animojis, and there were like YouTube videos, and it was super cool for what, 3 weeks? And after that, the trend had completely faded. No one was still talking about it. So I think what we're really waiting on is that first killer app that makes the difference. No one's walking into a store right now saying, I need a phone that does 3D sensing technology. And right. I'm not going to buy a phone until one does that. So like at that point, when people are walking into a store saying, I need my phone to do this thing, then it'll matter. Until then, everyone's just going to kind of rush on this and they'll get features in, but it's not changing anything yet.
Well, and that's a great point, and I don't disagree. As I was researching apps and looking for apps for the Arena, which we'll do later in the show as a tease for you, I'm noticing more and more AR apps emerging, but none of them seem to do anything more than just, hey, look, you can put this wacky thing in front of you, right? And so I'm really wondering, you know, we've had AR for more than a few years. AR has been a thing for 5+ years. What is the tipping point on 3D cameras or the need for 3D sensing? Is it security, like this article calls out? Is it AR, like Flo mentioned? Or is it something that we haven't seen yet? I mean, Cody, when do you think this is actually going to be something people care about?
Oh, it's so hard to tell, but I have this weird feeling it's not going to be about security. That's a great, like, subject, and it's where this technology is going to really end up doing a lot. But I have a feeling the point where people really want to see it, it's going to be maybe a social network that delivers something, or more likely, it's going to be a
Snapchat.
Game. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
Well, could it be something like, so Scooter X mentioned in the chat room, Victor, I put a link in the doc, a Google experiment called Just Align recently came out. Mm-hmm. Which is leveraging the whole AR core thing and has created an experiment by Google. And it's a AR app that allows you to draw with your phone as you move. And it looks really cool. I don't know if this is the killer app, but it's pretty neat. You know, like, it shows what the potential of AR core can do, at least in terms of its processing power.
Oh, I love that. Because previously stuff like this was limited to third-party apps that implemented it, like Snapchat.
This reminds me a lot of the stuff people do on Instagram stories.
Yeah.
But in you know, like, live almost, you know what I mean? Like, not just with a still photo, I mean, it's with video, which is really cool.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool too. And just to have it, like, populate as, I mean, I'm assuming it populates as you're doing it live. I was, you know, the CNBC article was talking a lot about supply chain and how, you know, Apple is probably going to be ahead because of the fact that they have these hardware partnerships. But I think back to Cody's point, it is a very curious thing to think about AR in the future, because as Cody was saying, no one's going to buy phones with AR built in. I was also thinking about the fact that nobody is going to the furniture store and using apps that, like, let you measure the, you know what I mean? Like, there's no tool out there that's being implemented or being used to sort of give a reason for somebody to use this outside of a gimmick factor.
Yeah, right now, right. It's a lot of toy kind of stuff. And I don't say toy as derogatively as it probably sounds, but it's fun stuff that's really neat to play with for a little
like
bit. You want to show it off. Yeah, you want to show it to your friends, or you want to show it to your parents or something like that. But we're actually pretty far away from those things that it's going to be normal for people to say, this is something I'm doing.
You make one Instagram post with your new Animoji or whatever your phone can do, and then that's it. It's like, people like it, and then that's it. Cool feature, right?
Yeah.
We need something beyond that. Ron, you got our next little news item.
I do. Well, we'll see if that Gartner report and 3D stuff comes to fruition. But today, that's about the future. This is about today. If you stay tuned at the end of the show, you can see our weekly Oreo tasting. But good news for Samsung users, they're going to be tasting Oreos as well, too. Samsung has confirmed that it's completed its Android Oreo beta test and has officially begun sending out the software updates to Galaxy S8 and S8 Plus devices in the U.S. So when you actually, if you're a Galaxy S8 or S8 Plus user, you're going to have to wait on your carrier to roll out the update. We're seeing various different reports from users getting Oreo on T-Mobile, Verizon, and Sprint, but it is coming at long last. And I saw this article and I was just like, wait a minute, Samsung doesn't have Oreo yet? Like, it took that long?
It does not have Oreo yet, no. And yeah. Another thing that's just worth noting is that apparently this update brings everybody on the same emoji page, which was another like fragmented thing that Samsung was doing, which is not displaying all the latest emoji because the version of Android was old. Anyway, yes, Oreo is now just a thing. And by the way, P is now developer preview.
Right.
Just to hone it in there.
It's crazy. But Samsung is not the only ones left in the dust. Also, the LG V30 on Sprint is getting Oreo as well, too. So LG users take note. Lots of Oreo updates, although they're not as tasty as spring-themed Oreos. So,
yeah, you know what would be nice if, like, they just shipped Oreo, you know, out of the box? Like, you know, the Pixel phones. Yeah. That would help. Hey, before we head on to our first ad, Cody, I wanted to actually talk to you. So part of the reason we wanted to have you on today is because we've been talking a lot about this first developer preview of Android P to sort of like find any real significance in it. I mean, I know it's just kind of like the beginning stages of this developer preview. Maybe there's not even much to really delve into what we have of Android P right now. But I was curious to hear kind of your thoughts about what's come out these last couple of weeks, to hear if, you know, you've had a chance to play with the Android P developer preview, if you've found any features or some sort of minute changes that you're really excited about, or I don't know, if there are any hints about some features that still maybe haven't been announced.
So far, I haven't spent as much time as I'd like to with it, but or rather on the developer side, I haven't. I'm actually using it on my main phone, which is kind of a first for me. I usually push it to a phone that's not in main use. But yeah, this preview, besides a few specific bugs, has actually been fairly stable for me. But with that said, on the developer side, I kind of feel like Google is playing it really close to the vest on this one. They've already announced a lot of stuff, but almost everything in their main developer page is, for lack of a better way to put it, it's all kind of refinements on things we already have. It's a lot of security-related things, an update to the neural networks API. There's little tools for, like, handling bitmaps and images a little bit more easily. Most of this is not big headline grabbing stuff. And it's not that they have to deliver those big headline grabbers. It's that those are probably there. They're just not sharing them yet with the P preview. So I kind of think we're going to hear a lot more with that first beta. And just for example, there was a developer by the name of Sebastiano Poggi. Mm-hmm. I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. And he already uncovered something called slices, which his first examination of this, he says this is going to be a two-parter. And his first examination is a little bit light on specific details. But so far, what he's saying is this very closely resembles remote views. And for non-developers out there, basically a remote view is something that you create and then pass off to other processes so that they can display a part of your UI. If anyone's ever worked on Android, you'll know that remote views have problems. They can be a headache. They're a little hard to work with sometimes. And I don't want to oversell it, like they certainly are very capable and powerful, but at the same time, things that you take for granted when you're developing an app, you lose access to a lot of those features when you actually try to do anything through remote views. So the way this is starting to sound is a bit like what Apple calls extensions, which In short, you basically kind of package up a very small piece of functionality and pass it off to another app to run sort of in its own little pocket. And I don't want to overexplain this because even I don't do any iOS development anymore, so I don't know enough to say too much on that in full practice, but it sounds like a really cool addition. And so far, Google hasn't said anything about this. I took a brief moment to email them and try to get more details, and they basically said, sorry, we're not talking about this yet.
Well, yeah. Well, they have a big developer conference coming up in 2 months. Yeah, so.
Exactly. Yeah. And I shouldn't say they didn't say yet. Yet was not a word in there. It was just more of a no comment.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so I think all of the really good stuff, it's there. It's waiting. It's just not, it's not out there for developers to play with quite yet. So I think the preview is more of a, here's some things that we know everyone needs to start working on because they're important. And we're going to let you run this preview to make sure your apps work without breaking, like without making any other changes. We want to make sure nothing's breaking, and all the things that are going to be important, that's going to be coming in a few weeks.
You know, that makes me just sort of think about the fact that first of all, that's a really smart thing to do, I think, on Google's part, to sort of say, hey, devs, I want, you know, go see how your app is doing with this new little, you know, version of the OS that we're going to push out. Here's a little taste of what's coming up, but that there's more to sort of announce. There's more to reveal here. I don't know. Do you think that this sort of practice is what helps keep these updates on a consistent schedule?
Oh, absolutely. This, I always hate making this comparison because people make too much of it, but this is kind of what Apple was doing for years, where they would give out little bits here and there, but they held a lot back. And it was a very staged process where you only take on certain parts with each step of the way through, like the betas and then going into the final releases. And what Google has been doing with each developer preview is refining that process more and more. And they're giving developers pieces to work with without overloading them. I think back, I can't remember which preview it was, but there was one of them where too much stuff came out in the first release and you saw developers almost dropping everything just to play with the new APIs. And there was probably 2 or 3 months of solid like fanfare over the new APIs, and anyone who didn't have a device running the preview was getting frustrated because all of the apps they wanted to be using weren't getting updates even.
Interesting.
So, I feel like the slow rollout of features, I mean, because that makes sense. I mean, we've seen multiple developer previews and it kind of intensifies with each release and they add more. And I got to imagine it's a combination of parts of the new version that aren't ready for prime time, right? So, you know, not having, you know, an API or something, some aspect of it in place, and it gets added in a further down a preview. But then a part of it is also kind of kicking the tires, right? Isn't it that they want to get feedback from the developers, and they also want to see how all of their reports in terms of feedback and use and things like that come back to see if this is really, you know, that much closer to release. I mean, I almost feel like it's a great courtesy to give developers a leg up to start adapting their apps and figure out how they're going to utilize it. But it's also like a, you know, in the Google fashion, like a beta test, right?
Oh, absolutely. Plus, yeah. One of the things that's interesting, because I'm in that unique place where I'm also digging into a lot of Google's apps very closely.
Very intimately.
This, I was avoiding that word, but yes, a little bit.
Heyo.
One of the interesting twists is it also gives Google's own product teams an opportunity to test on the platform with a public release without necessarily opening everything up to developers to mess with quite yet. So that slices feature I just mentioned, we haven't discussed this on the site yet. I'm going to soon, But the Google app already contains little bits and pieces that are related to slices. And it's not a lot yet, but right now there's a little bit of text basically asking permission if you'd like to display slices inside of an app. So basically it's asking, and I'm just making up a scenario here, but would you like to display an Evernote slice inside of the Google app? That might be a thing that it's going to do. So it's an interesting direction for it to go. And Google gets to play with that right now. Meanwhile, developers will get to play with it. I'm assuming developers will get to play with it in a few months.
I'm trying to visualize. So I don't know if you explained this, but so Slice, what would be like the consumer interfacing part of this?
I'm going to reference, I feel like I'm going to get some hate over this. I'm going to reference Apple's use in extensions.
To be fair, it is the only other platform to really use.
Exactly.
comparison.
But Apple, the example that they gave is, in short, what you're doing is if you want to, let's say you want to share a picture to a social network, then let's say Instagram could create an extension. And when you share your picture, not only are you just saying, I want to share it to Instagram, and then the picture gets passed off, but it would actually display a small interface right inside of the app that you're sharing from that would give you the options Instagram would require when it posts. That's kind of the idea there.
Like filters or cropping.
Or even just a text box for adding hashtags.
Oh, and yeah, sure.
Whatever you're going to post. So all those kinds of things. And I don't know how full that gets. I haven't used an iOS device since before extensions were a thing. But I'm picturing that kind of interface. And it's not that something like that can't be done in Android already using kind of a plugin style, which almost every OS can do now. But this is something that it seems like it's more of an Android specific approach, sort of the same way intents. You can have a share intent, or you can have an intent that save a contact or take a picture. I'm picturing slices may work something like that. It's tough to guess right now from what little's there, and I haven't had enough time to look into it too closely myself, but it would make it possible for interfaces to bring parts of other apps in without forcing you to switch context, which eases the use of different apps.
So I'm seeing this as sort of a plugin for Google Assistant so the Instagram thing you just mentioned, posting to Instagram with my voice is what I'm
suddenly I just got a picture in my head of I forget what it was called, but that Amazon product, it was a camera that you're supposed to set in a room and it takes pictures for you. I'm totally picturing that now, like a Google Home version of it. But you just tell it, hey, take a picture of me and post it to Instagram. And that's it. Like, just from top to bottom, that's all you have to do.
I'm just envisioning Bixby. I'm envisioning Bixby style voice commands to the, you know, where you can say, like, crop this and then post it here. You know, that kind of magic.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. I don't know. There's still a lot to dissect here, and I know we're going to have plenty more to dissect over the next couple of weeks, especially leading into I/O. Ron.
Well, before we move on, though, Flo, I do have a question for Cody. Probably the most important question of it all is, what dessert do you think it's going to be named?
Oh, yeah. That is a good question.
Okay. I was thinking about that earlier. So for this whole time, I've been expecting pie.
Because the
timing is so obvious. I kind of have this nagging feeling that they're going to make a pecan pie or something like that. Pumpkin pie, maybe. Just give it that little bit of extra punch. But I would be lying if I said that I didn't want it just to be pie. because that is three letters. It sounds silly, but to someone who writes the name of Android anywhere from 20 to 50 times a day, slight exaggeration, but not much, that's awesome.
Remember also, Marshmallow?
Is it safe to say that you are not rooting for Peppermint?
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Marshmallow. Yeah.
No, I'm dead serious. When they announced Oreo, I had that brief moment of, you know what? I remember what it was like writing Marshmallow. I'm glad that's not happening. For the next year, I get four letters. That's it.
And dude, you need to get Text Expander or an app like that where you do a keystroke and it fills in the text.
Oh, I use one, believe me. Yeah. I will say this. There's another reason I want it to be Pi. There is a developer icon that came out back when we were looking forward to K. Mm-hmm. It was for Key Lime Pi.
Oh, yeah.
The debug icon that showed up on your phone was the best looking one they've ever done. And it was a pie slice. Yeah. I want that. I want them just to go back and reuse that same pie slice. It was great.
I remember that. The last minute switcheroo to KitKat.
Yep. And they switched to this weird blocky icon. And I know this sounds so silly, but for someone who's got their phone attached to a computer for like a quarter of the day, I see that icon way too much. I want a good icon in that spot.
That's fair. I think that's a fair thing to want. Yeah,
I agree. Totally. I agree.
All right. What's also fair is thanking our first sponsor for helping out with All About Android. We want to thank ZipRecruiter for sponsoring this episode of All About Android. And listen, are you in a job where you have to hire? You know, I've been in many jobs. I've been in many roles where I've had to hire. And every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. And I got to tell you, over the years, I've hired a ton of people, and it's such a chore. It's so painful. ZipRecruiter is the smart tool that we need to make hiring smarter, better, and more effective. It's so great. So many companies are using it. If you're in a position where you need to hire folks, look at ZipRecruiter. It will change your life. You want to spend time working, not finding people. You want to hire people and get them to work for you. That's why ZipRecruiter is great. That's why businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, totally free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Android. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And find out what's going on at ZipRecruiter.com/Android. And we thank them for their support and for helping us hire great candidates. Thanks, ZipRecruiter. So with that said, let's move on to the hardware.
It's that time of year again. It's actually always that time of year. I don't know why I'm saying that, because it's always that time of year in Android land when there's a new phone being leaked and rumored and launched and shown off. Anyway, now we're done talking about the Samsungs out there. So now we're talking about one of our other favorite phone brands, the decidedly non-Google adjacent brand, OnePlus. Yay! So here's kind of a little idea of what maybe the OnePlus 6 might look like. So it's expected to share the same design, or at least this is what's kind of being said in the little like rumor mill, is that the OnePlus 6 is supposed to look like the Oppo R15. So this is what the Oppo R15 looks like. And so whatever's happening here, we can expect to come with the OnePlus 6, maybe, possibly. What's also interesting to note, by the way, is, and I want both of your opinions on this, is the 19:9 ratioed notch. That's what I'm going to call it. The ratioed notch is 19:9.
Cool.
Or something like that.
I like 19:9. I like wacky resolutions.
That's extremely wacky.
I mean, I'm with if Jason was here, he would be saying he doesn't hate the notch. And I don't hate the notch either. Cody, where do you stand on the notch?
I've not been a big fan of the notch. I don't know. I haven't used a phone that has one yet. Maybe I'd feel different once I've got one in hand, but it kind of bugs me. I don't know. Again, I'd have to try it first, but I hate making judgments without having one in hand. It just, I don't think it looks good, and I would hate watching video on it. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a point. That's a thing I always forget about is the video thing. Apparently the OnePlus 6 might have a notch. And if we just want to throw out some specs out there, that's a possibility. The Oppo R15 has a 6.28-inch OLED panel with a 19:9. Again, there's that number, full HD plus resolution. And that's a 90% screen to body ratio, by the way. Which is, that's a hot marketing statement to put there, I just have to say. Not quite 100, but 90%, which is like just enough for you to kind of like put your finger there on the edge just in case you needed that little tiny bit of bezel. Still right there for you, 10%. This device has a 12 nanometer MediaTek Helio P60 in it. I am doubtful that the OnePlus 6 would have a MediaTek processor in it. But I mean, there's a lot more time for this to incubate. So I usually expect a summer release out of OnePlus. That's kind of been the standard for the company the past couple of years. So they do a nice release. They do a standard release in the summer around June, July time. And then kind of a nice little follow-up in time for the holidays toward the end of the year. So I'm kind of assuming in a couple of months, we're going to have maybe same body style. I imagine very different specs, even though these specs aren't too bad, I guess. Except for, anytime I hear MediaTek, I'm just like, oh, MediaTek, you know? It's not like...
Doesn't get you, you know?
It doesn't get me like, you know, Qualcomm.
Well, so do you think the flagship killer status of OnePlus is tired or wired? Do you think that that's something that they need to move on from?
No, because I think now the new killer is the new thing to kill is the Pixel, right? So we have to ask ourselves if there really is a kill worthy shot here from OnePlus for whenever this comes out, if it will be a kill worthy shot, if it will be a straight shot to the heart. I was trying to think of a very less graphic. Anyway, that metaphor is going too far. So
it really is.
Cody, you know, there's notch appreciation in Android P. So you're not going to get away from notches.
No, it's definitely one of those things that's there. I don't know that I'd say it's there to stay as like a common trend. Well, no. What I mean by that is I think right now a whole lot of manufacturers are going to be experimenting with it, which there's a whole like experimenting in college joke to be made there. But
we won't make it, though.
It's something that they're trying out because it's trendy. It's popular for the moment. I don't know that I really buy that it's going to be something that everyone's going to be doing in, let's say, 2 years, or maybe it'll take longer. Maybe it'll be something that just happens for the summer. We'll see how it plays. But I feel like it's not going to be that big of a deal in the long run. And as far as support in Android, I mean, it would be really bad if Google didn't like make it easier to support. Then you're leaving it to all the manufacturers to put out their own custom support. And that's such a bad idea. Yeah. It never works when each one is trying to release their own custom SDKs to support their slight variation on the hardware.
To a certain degree, Google has to support trends if there's enough mass to it. You know what I mean? They might not like it. But if enough manufacturers are going in that direction, they need to be put it in a position to support it because it might be a bad experience on Android, which then looks poorly on them.
Yep. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or they make it a proprietary thing that only, or the manufacturers do like the olden days where it was, the olden days where they would put out, you know, an update that was just for their software. And so we'd have to do all these proprietary things, you know, Samsung and LG doing a lot of proprietary things.
The worst.
Not that. Nope. I mean, who knows? Who knows? Why is this a trend?
I don't know.
Can somebody just write me and tell me, write us.
Isn't that your job?
Yeah, it is, right? But I'm looking at other stuff right now. I don't have time for the notch thing. This is a call to action. If you have a love affair with the notch, I want to know why. Do you have a love affair with the notch? Call Maury Povich now.
Jeez. All right. Anyway, moving on. Everybody knows I love tablets, and if you're looking for a new tablet, listen, if you work outside, if you're a contractor, if you do something with telephone poles or outside in the weather, you might want to pay attention to Samsung's latest rugged tablet, which is going to be available in the U.S. for just $420. It's like I mentioned, it's going to have a focus on industrial workers and be very weather resistant. It's an 8-inch tablet. With an unnamed octa-core chip, 3 gig of RAM, 16 gig of storage with expansion, running Android Nougat.
Nougat.
I've always got to say it correctly. It's going to have a low-res resolution at 1280 by 800 and a 4,450 milliamp battery. It's got USB-C, and it comes with an S Pen, and there's an LTE model that works on Verizon and AT&T. And this is totally focused at, you know, like I mentioned, contractors, you know, industrial workers, folks that are outside. You know, I want to say UPS man, but they have their own technology. I don't know if they're on tablets. They've got those cool little things, those like pen-like devices or whatever. But yeah, this is a nice rugged tablet that maybe even if you're looking for a tablet for your kids to knock around, it's got enough protection there for it.
And it's got the S Pen, which you can use for coloring books.
Yeah, so coloring that's a lovely apps. Thing. It's nice to see Samsung keeping the tablet flame alive when everybody's running for the hills. So.
Yeah, especially considering that there are no new Android tablets to really talk about. I mean, I was
sad.
It is sad, but I wonder if that's because there just maybe isn't a need for it.
Potentially. Mm-hmm. I love mine. I still use mine. I love it.
I know, but yours was half the price of this one.
True. That's a good point.
$420. I mean,
yeah. Yep.
Could probably buy it anyway. Not going to tell you to buy an iPad mini on the show, but but if you're looking for a good tablet.
You know, we're all just waiting on Fuchsia. That's where we all just know the Android tablet thing.
You mean the fusion? The fusion of Fuchsia?
Yes. All of us at AP, we keep joking that Android tablets are just kind of like 10 minutes away from being just quietly sunsetted, and, you know, Fuchsia will.
Yes,
Fuchsia,
I know. I read all of your Twitter feeds. Yeah. It's a conversation that was bustling even today.
Oh, was it? Oh, yeah, it was, I guess.
It was, but I think that speaks volumes to the fact that we have this conversation a lot. Every time we want to complain about Android, the first thing is fragmentation, and the second thing is why there are no tablets. There are no tablets.
So for those of our listeners or viewers who are just tuning in for the first time, what is Fuchsia?
Yes, Cody. It's your inside joke.
extremely short version, because I paid minimal attention to Fuchsia, actually. But it's basically a new operating system Google is working on that's a lot more streamlined, a pretty lightweight, and it would do really well in... It could do well on phones, but it looks like it's really well suited to sort of tablets and smaller laptops. So it just kind of has the UI to be very touch friendly, something that Chrome OS is a bit hit and miss on. And it has, that's it. Well, I'm not going to expand too far on it, but.
So what you're saying, it's an updated version of Honeycomb. Just kidding, but not really.
Ouch. But so do we think that it eventually can replace Chrome OS, or do you see it getting pulled into Android P, or is it still too early? Like, is Fuchsia even something we're ever going to actually see on devices, or is it more of a experimentation platform?
Oh, I would hate to throw a guess like that on my name right now. Because
see, I'm trying to put you on the spot, man. I'm trying.
Yeah, I'm not throwing any predictions like that. Google loves to have so many projects that may or may not take off, and I give full credit for that. I don't think there's anything wrong with that strategy. You know, try something, see if it works, and if it doesn't, kill it. That's okay. If Fuchsia takes off, that's fantastic. But if it doesn't, that's okay too. And it's not until they start throwing real commitments at it that it's a problem. You know, for example, if they were to kill Android Auto tomorrow, people would be angry. If they kill Fuchsia tomorrow, a few people are going to kind of, you know, bubble up at the seams. But for the most part, it's not a big deal. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how it turns out. I think the big question is how much they're going to throw at Fuchsia over the next like 2 years.
Yeah. Well, I wonder what will be at Google I/O in relation to it, if anything.
So. Yeah.
I think this is too early for Fuchsia to hit I/O.
Really?
I'm guessing.
I'm scrolling through an Ars Technica article on it from back in January, and just looking at some of the picture, or some of the screenshots that were posted, and it just looks so great. It just looks exactly like. I mean, maybe I'm jumping the gun here, but hey, I
Victor,
think it looks very.
We got the link in the doc if you want to show folks what yeah. Flo's talking about. So. It does look pretty. It does look nice. I mean, looking at the screenshots and looking at it, Flo, is this the Ron Amadeo?
Guy? Yeah, it's the Ron Amadeo piece. He put Google Fuchsia OS on a Pixel Book and showed how it works. And it's if you scroll down, Victor, to the base. Yeah, there you go. In this little reel, you'll see like all. You see all the sort of screenshots. It's very minimal, but I like the way the interface is placed, and I see like the way they use cards and things. I don't know. Now I just want to daydream about Fuchsia.
Well, at this point, I think it might. What I'm thinking is more that it might be a little too early to send developers to Fuchsia.
Yeah,
sure.
So in other words, that's kind of why I'm saying I don't think we're going to see anything at I/O for it. Not saying that they won't announce it. Like, I could totally see some sort of announcement or even just a teaser on stage.
They do a lot of that.
It's totally believable. I just don't think they're going to get into like developer sessions for Fuchsia. Not yet. That seems, if they're going to do anything, maybe late this year, or I still feel like it's probably more of a next year thing.
Well, so I'm looking at the schedule of events for Google I/O 2018, and there is no session currently announced that has the word Fuchsia in the title. So,
Those
do change, and they do add more. But I feel like we'll get a lot more Kotlin than we will Fuchsia. So, in this next I/O.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
In fact, I'm wondering if I should just get like. Like, I should just get a big gold necklace that just says Kotlin. just to kind of hold it in there.
All about Kotlin.
All about Kotlin.
Now that you said that, somebody is going to show up to Google I/O having just had one of those custom made.
I welcome it.
If it's not Flo, I'm going to be very upset.
That's the kind of enthusiasm I want to see from the developer community, not just using the software, but also just really, really leaning into the narrative story of the way of life, man.
We got one more story, Flo.
Yeah, you know, we've actually got a little tiny bit of HTC news. It's global news. It's not, you know, immediately for the United States, but maybe you're interested in the HTC Desire 12 Plus. Decidedly budget phone, not exactly the most spectacular entrance here, along with the other crop of phones that have been announced. So this here is a 6-inch 720 by 1440 IPS LCD display. It does have a 2965 milliamp battery, however, so maybe those pair nicely. Qualcomm Snapdragon 450, 3 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of micro SD, 32 gigs onboard storage with micro SD expansion, 13 megapixel plus 2 megapixel back camera, and the front camera is 8 megapixels. This one, unlike the latest Samsung tablet that we just talked about, actually has Android 8.0 Oreo right out of the box. So I'm actually wondering, by the way, if this is going to be standard practice, just with the whole, you know, HTC employees now residing in cubicles right next to other Google employees. I don't know. What do you guys think? Am I just wishing here?
I think you're wishing.
I think I'm wishing. This phone, the Desire Plus, will cost between £235 and £249. So that's about $288 to $305. Pretty cheap. There's also the HTC Desire 12. This is a smaller model. It's a 5.5-inch display. It has a MediaTek processor. Again, with that MediaTek, it's making me a little dubious. 2 to 3 gigs of RAM, depending on the region. 16 or 32 gigs of storage, depending on the region as well. 13 megapixel back camera, 5 megapixel front camera. Smaller battery, 2730 milliamps. This one has Nougat out of the box. So there goes my wishes. My wishes were not fulfilled.
Aw.
Yeah.
Too bad. So, sad.
Too bad.
All right.
But well, if you live overseas, how about it?
I think our next sponsor can help fulfill some of your wishes, though, Flo.
Oh, absolutely.
And we want to thank FreshBooks for fulfilling Flo's wishes, as well as many other hardworking individuals, because FreshBooks is fantastic, because now we're right in the thick of it. The clock is ticking. It is tax season, and that is often one of the most stressful times for freelancers and small business owners. But guess what, guys? It doesn't have to be. You can fight your tax fears with FreshBooks, the easy-to-use cloud accounting software for small business owners. FreshBooks' intuitive dashboard will give you quick access to your spending, outstanding balances, total profit, and other accounting reports so you'll know how you're doing at any given moment, which is key when you're running your own business. If you're a small business owner or a freelancer, you want to know how your business is doing, you need to be on top of your finances, FreshBooks is the way to do it, because FreshBooks will automatically connect to your bank account and update expenses daily. And with FreshBooks, you can send professional-looking invoices in seconds. You can save time accepting credit cards online and get paid an average of 2 times faster. And that's key. When you're waiting on that invoice to get paid, you want to get paid fast. And FreshBooks makes it easy for your clients and your partners to pay you easily with their credit card or online, and you get paid 2 times faster. So no more chasing clients for payments or waiting in line at the bank. You can accept credit card payments directly from the invoice. You can see what invoices have been sent, viewed, and paid, as well as overdue and outstanding invoice totals, and which is such a handy tool. When you send an invoice, you see it hasn't even been viewed yet. You can call the person up and be like, hey, open my email. I got an invoice waiting for you. Pay me. In the great words of the movie Goodfellas, pay me. You can create proposals with rich text content, images, customizable sections, and more. And FreshBooks makes it easy to bill for time by client and by specific project. And FreshBooks recently added Spanish and Dutch languages as options for invoices, estimates, and proposals. So if you speak Spanish and Dutch, now you can use FreshBooks. There you go. And with the FreshBooks app, you can stay connected to your clients and keep tabs on your business no matter where you are. If you got expenses, if you're on the go, just take a picture of your receipt with your phone, upload it, and let FreshBooks do the rest. FreshBooks recently added a dashboard view to the FreshBooks Android app, which just makes it so much sweeter on your phone, on your Pixel, on your Pixel 2. Install FreshBooks, and you're ready to go. So set yourself up for a stress-free tax season next year with FreshBooks. From payment reminders to late fees, automate as much or as little as you'd like and get back to doing what you love. And I know many, many freelancers and small business owners, my significant other included, use FreshBooks every day to keep on top of their expenses and their bills and invoices. And FreshBooks is fantastic. And you, my friend, can try it for free for 30 days. Just go to FreshBooks.com/AAA and enter All About Android in the How Did You Hear About Us section. That's FreshBooks.com/AAA. And we thank FreshBooks for their support and keeping tax season stress-free. Thank you, FreshBooks.
Thanks, FreshBooks.
Yay. And now, on to the apps.
Ah, yes. Apps. So I want to show you guys some new stuff. over here.
That's cool. We'll see it.
Did you guys hear about the new Try Before You Buy game program in the Google Play Store?
I did. This is basically instant apps for games, right?
Basically instant apps for games. So try before you buy. Let me actually lower the brightness just a tiny bit on this here phone. There we go. I think that's a bit better. So here is the Google Play Store. This is where you go and you get apps and games and other things. And as you may know, instant apps were, I believe, and y'all can correct me if I'm wrong, they were announced 2 years ago? 2 years ago at Google I.O.? They've been around for a while. They're a thing. So the concept behind them is that they load in here instead of you having to download an entire app packet, unpacking it on your little hard drive in here, because it's not a hard drive, little storage in here, and then launching it. So you're basically just emulating it. And if you go to the Play Store right now and you scroll down to... instant gameplay, try now, install later, you will see a nice little thread of games that you can try now before you install. And let's see, some of the titles that we have, of course, are Words with Friends, Bubble Witch, Final Fantasy 15, I want to say that is. That's what XV is. I think that we should try Solitaire, though, before we, you know, before we install it. So we would hit the Try Now button on the app page, and it would load a bit for me. So there we go. There's Solitaire. And so I can just play it as I need. Look, and ads and everything right there for me. I'm not sure if there is a time out on this. But
yeah, like how much can you use it? Like, yeah. Right?
Yeah. I have not established yet, although it is apparently number one trending card game. Good for you, Solitaire, from Zynga. If you want to try that, I mean, go ahead and see. I don't know how long it's going to last you to be able to try these games, but it's just nice to know that there's six of them right now that you can.
So here's a question. Instant apps was supposed to be like a game changer, right?
Yes.
It has not affected my life one bit.
I imagine it's because it's not really being implemented.
Right?
I don't know. Cody, am I right about that? It's a piece of code that you drop in as a developer, right? And then it just kind of does the magic from there.
It's one of those things that, for lack of a better way to say it, it's a combination of problems with discovery and it just a lot of developers haven't seen a good reason to implement this yet. Or even if they have seen a reason, they're not necessarily having an easy time making it a highly accessible thing. At least that's what I've kind of heard here and there. It's a great idea. But I think just too many people don't know it's a thing that they can do.
Yeah, that's really true.
And so now I wonder if apps don't really lend themselves to this kind of thing where games, you know, the less time it takes to download and install that game and see whether you like it or not. Like I have started to say install a game and then see how long it takes to download and cancel it and move on. So I could see this as being a super game changer for games.
Yeah.
Game changer. Get it?
But I'm thinking about like the Yelp app, which I just, you know, absolutely do not like having installed on my phone, but kind of need it sometimes so I can figure out what people are saying about where I'm about to eat.
Right. Which is fair.
Yeah, I think there are definitely some apps where it makes a lot of sense. It's just how often are you looking to do that? And are you thinking about going and installing the Yelp app as opposed to just looking it up each time to use the instant app version of it? And so, you know, it depending on how you use your apps, you may or may not necessarily go for that. What worries me about games, maybe I shouldn't say worries, but I think about demos that I played on like a PlayStation 4. I don't know if you guys have ever downloaded any of those, but you're talking about like a 30 or 40 gig download to get a demo. And then when you want to get the final full version, you'd have to add, you know, 5-10 gigs to that download. It's because they're transferring this massive, like the actual ability to play the game, all the code that's behind it and a lot of the resources. And then when you're talking about getting the full game, you're usually just adding maps, or you might be adding some dialogue. And there are certainly games that differ from that, but I don't know how well that fits into instant apps.
Yeah.
Victor, if you have a, if you could, wouldn't mind going over the shoulder real quick, because I just want to show Google Play Games has also been updated, by the way. Remember this app? I actually use it because I like to do little leaderboard things for the different games, and it's also a nice little launcher. I just noticed, by the way, that it has these three preloaded, has these three preloaded games. It's a built-in Google game. You can play Pac-Man, Cricket, or Solitaire. And then if you tap over to the arcade portion, you will be able to watch little, I guess, little trailers for games that you might be interested in playing. And then underneath, you would have the instant gameplay. So I see an interesting trend here, a renewed focus, or rather at least a nice little makeover of the games portion of the Google Play Store.
Yeah, I think games developers must be all over this. I got to see this as a huge
opportunity. It was announced, in tandem with GDC this week, which is taking place.
Right, which makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, so. San Francisco this week, so.
Well, so a little more Google news that might be interesting to a lot of our listeners, viewers, because I know if you're like me, I'm a big into the podcast, not only creating, making the podcast, but listening to the podcast. And we've had about 2 years of podcasts available in Google Play Music. And long story short, nobody uses them there. I don't know if you guys have seen differently or heard differently, but I don't know anybody uses Google Play Music for their podcasts. But Google has had and tinkered with interesting integration in the Google search app. And as of now, they started rolling out recent changes to the Google app itself. I'm hearing music. I'm sorry. Wow.
Did something autoplay on you?
Yes, the article autoplayed on me. It's freaking me out. I'm closing it. I apologize. There we go. I couldn't find the little icon in the Chrome bar. But yeah, so Android Police had the article on the Google search app. You're able to subscribe to podcasts, and they have a new interface for actually consuming and playing them, which is interesting because the Google search app is tied into Google Assistant, which is tied into Google Home. And you start seeing better usage and better management of your subscriptions and your podcast plays that you can directly from the search app, as opposed to going into Google Play Music, which I think makes a lot more sense. And you're seeing a lot more services bubble up to the Google search app, and which is basically the native app, you know, with, you know, on Android that you're using constantly. So this could be interesting for podcasters out there, and you have it kind of right there. You're playing with it live right now, right?
Well, so I'm in – this is the Google search app. I'm – hey, don't do that right now. Sorry, guys. I'm in the Google search app, and it doesn't – it gives me a little play button for our different episodes of All About Android, but it doesn't, and the ability to add it to the home screen, but not to subscribe. And then when I go into, well, granted, this is the search. I'm not in the assistant app per se. Also in the Play Music, it lets you subscribe.
Well, yeah, but that's been there for a while. That's not really that new. But what
so
it's
it would
doing
be
is
in
that,
Google Assistant then.
Yeah, it is. Right, it was, or in the Google search app.
Okay.
I'll cut you off real quick just to say that this is something that's still rolling out, and I don't even have the new interface yet. So it's just kind of, if you're lucky, you now have access to subscribe to podcasts in the search app. But if not, just wait.
I'm looking. I just did a search.
Also, we're categorized as a TV program by Google, so it's possible.
Oh, I have it. I totally have it.
Oh,
so,
you do? Okay.
You're not going to be able to see it on the screen, but here, but I do have it. So you are able to, you know, there's a fanboy and you can subscribe, see it right there.
Okay. Yeah. I see the blue subscribe button.
Yep. So Yeah, so there it is. All right. So pretty cool. So, and the little podcast icon in the upper right hand corner, I think, is a little neat little touch as well too. So it's pretty cool. So, I apologize about before. That was very. I had never heard video audio ads playing on Android Police before, and it threw me off. So,
we know. We've been trying to stop this for a while. It's just some bad ad providers.
I know. Oh man, I don't miss those days of trying to track down the third party ad network that served up an audio ad on my site. Oh, so.
Well, we've got other news coming out this week too, in tandem with GDC from the Google camp. And actually, this is so interactive that if you've got an AR core enabled phone, which I looked that up today, and actually, there's a lot of them out there. So a lot of the latest Galaxy devices, the latest Pixel devices, obviously. So if you want to head over to the Google Play Store that we just told you to go to, there are now over 60 AR core capable apps that, or actually I should say this week, there will be over 60 AR core capable apps launching on the Play Store. Many of them are games, but there are a couple of non-game ones on there as well, including Pottery Barn has one, IKEA has one. I got a press release this morning from Wayfair about their updated augmented reality abilities so that you can shop for furniture by kind of placing it in your house, that sort of thing. Other titles include My Tamagotchi Fever, which has gotten a lot of headlines in the Android, or rather in the game sphere, in the last week, which I thought was very interesting. So any phone that supports AirCore, you can check out some of the apps that can now do it. And actually, Ron, that Justaline, yeah, that was also announced as part of this corral of apps that are being launched.
That appears to be the gem of the bunch, apparently, that is showing what you can do with AR Core to the Mac. So they're pushing this pretty hard. It's cool, though. It's a cool little thing.
It is. And, you know, I think it's going to be like this, just a flood of releases, you know, every couple of quarters, I should say. You know, you got to get the developers on board, kind of seed these kits to them. You know, maybe you have to educate them on how to use these tools, that sort of thing. And I imagine that what that kind of outreach, you know, yep. With that news story that we had earlier in the show about the 3D sensing technology and how it's becoming more commonplace, then I imagine this stuff is going to become more commonplace. And so pretty soon every Instagram story is just going to be 3D stuff.
Lots of video.
3D. So, 3D bunny ears on everybody.
But going back to what Cody said earlier is that we still don't see the killer app for this stuff. So, you know, until that happens, I don't know if it's going to be if it's going to take an IP. Like in the chat room, they're talking about. Someone mentioned that there's supposed to be a Harry Potter AR game, and I vaguely remember that from last year. Wasn't that at I/O last year, the Harry Potter AR thing?
I thought it was way more recent than that.
Yeah, that was recent.
Was it the fall announcement?
It was a fall announcement. I believe that happened during the Pixel announcement, actually.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. That's supposed to be coming. You know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Will it take an IP like that? I mean, the AR stickers in the Google Pixel phone with Star Wars characters was cool, and I did it once, and I never did it again. Like, what is it going to take for AR to tip the scales?
Yeah, and I also just think about the last couple of IOs and how a lot of the AR demos were really centered. I mean, honestly, they were very focused on either a consumer, I wouldn't say a consumer need, but an addition to your shopping experience, or as an education tool, you know, something you can get the kids to, you know, look around the solar system, or, you know, have like a giant globe that they can, you know, look around and see weather patterns on. I mean, that's ultimately where I hope this stuff really makes some magic.
So it's Harry Potter Wizards Unite, and it's due out this year. That's all we know. And it's by Niantic, the people who did Pokemon Go. So.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the Pokemon Go of Harry Potter.
Will that do it? I don't know.
I mean, Pokemon Go could. Is essentially should.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Really quick. No, go ahead.
No, after you.
What I'm really wondering about is how long is it going to take before somebody at Google says, all right, it's time. Let's put an AR core project together with Daydream and I don't know, insert one other thing here. I feel like we need one more thing, like a new version of Google Glass or just something crazy. We've got to.
Yes. And then combine that with like Skyrim VR. And so everything in my world looks like a Skyrim prop. People yes. start looking, you know, they start like they have the, you know, the whatever blacksmith's clothing that they wear, you know, instead of right. You know, that's what we need. So I guess it's a very Ready Player One.
Jeez, we're just in time for Ready Player One.
Or as JJ in the chat says, AR LARPing. That's definitely what I'm talking about, yeah. AR LARPing. Yes.
Well, did you see, speaking of Google Glass, and we were talking about John Oliver in the pre-show, did you see the John Oliver episode, I think 2 weeks ago, that talked about technology? No, yeah, it was the Bitcoin episode.
Yes.
And he said, you know, talking about you got to be careful when talking about future technologies because you run the risk of looking like this. And he showed a clip of somebody praising Google Glass. And for a moment, I was like, oh, God, please don't show my clip. Please don't show my clip. Luckily, he did not. So that's good. But, yeah. Not good.
All right.
Anyway. All right. So let's thank our last sponsor before we get into the arena. This one's going to be a fun one because this episode's also brought to you by IT Pro TV. And you can build or expand your IT career with IT Pro TV. It might be a mouthful, but it's pretty awesome if you're an IT professional because IT Pro TV offers over 3,300 hours of binge-worthy on-demand training with more than 125 hours weekly. And that might not sound sexy, but if you're an IT professional, this is the stuff that you love. I have a bunch of friends who work in IT, and they're constantly binging on all the information they can get to stay on top of things, to be informed. And IT Pro TV is one of the best options for that. You can stream IT Pro TV's courses live and on demand worldwide with your Chromecast. It's also on Roku, Amazon Fire TV, if you have an Apple TV on your PC, or you can just use their apps. They've got an Android app. It's awesome. They also have an iOS app if you go that way. So there's no need to go offsite for training. There's nothing worse than interrupting your work week, having to go offsite for training. You can do it all on your own time. And seasoned IT pros understand the importance of continued education for career development. IT Pro TV does IT live every day, so you know you're getting the most current IT training. They've got courses that include Certified Ethical Hacker, Kali Linux, AWS, Amazon Web Services, ITIL, and ISC2 Security. If you're interested in IT Pro TV's team solution, contact them for group pricing so you can get your whole team on board. You'll gain full control over your team's training schedule so you can create custom groups and training assignments. You can see individual and group analytics, logins, viewing time, video downloads, and course completion tracking so you can get your entire team even more knowledgeable and better. So whether you're eager to start your new career in IT or you're a seasoned pro or you're looking for an engaging way to keep your team up to date, IT Pro TV offers effective and entertaining IT training. So visit itpro.tv/allaboutandroid to learn more about IT Pro TV's team solution and request a free team trial. Or if you're an individual, you can sign up for the individual monthly membership with a free 7-day trial at itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30 to receive 30% off your subscription for the lifetime of your active subscription. That's amazing. That's 30% off the entire lifetime of your subscription. Premium subscriptions, which include unlimited Transcender practice exams and virtual labs, are normally $857 a year, but you only pay $600 a year when you go to itpro.tv/allaboutandroid and use code AAA30. Flexible training, binge-worthy content, ROI proven. IT Pro TV is a name you can trust. Join more than 90,000 IT Pro TV members today and get up on your IT stuff. Become a better IT professional. Thanks, itpro.tv, for keeping us educated and being a sponsor of the show. Awesome stuff. Thanks so much.
Thanks, IT Pro.
Yay. TV. So that said, it's time to dive into the arena. I didn't do the Jason voice.
So many enter, but only one lives. Android Arena.
The arena. The arena. Oh.
Okay, so let's look at last week's results. Flo, I don't know if you're going to want to click on that link, but episode 360, it was just the three of us. It was me, Flo, and Jason, and it looks like I came in first in Nirvana for GTE with 46% of the vote. Jason's app, iJack, got 36% of the vote, and Flo, Paint 2D Pro, 18%.
It's okay. So, I've been floundering. Okay. It's all right. I'm hoping to turn it around.
Well, what's great is that Jason's not here, so you know, you got that going for you. And it's good that Jason's not here, because we look at the standings thanks to Wade County in the chat room, and through 11 weeks of the arena, guests are currently still in the lead with 30 points. So Cody, no pressure there.
No pressure.
Jason and I are tied for second place with 27 points.
Oh, no, you guys are tied.
We are tied. And Flo, you're in last place with 23 points.
Okay. I'm last but not least.
Yep. So, hey, with Flo, with a win, you could pass Jason because he's not here to get any points. So there it is. And with a win, I could knock guests out of first place. Anything can happen. Flo, you are up first.
Yeah, I'm also first. So, haha. Oh, yeah. Although I'm demoing all the apps today. So. Yes.
Hey, I'm making the poll while you're doing this. So we're all working a little bit here.
Yeah. I found this app just totally while I was doing my, I need new apps to try and, you know, overtake Ron. So I found this app. Now, I don't know if this app will overtake Ron, but I'm going to go ahead and tell you about it anyway. It's called Salt. And I was primarily attracted to it because I'm attracted to every monochromatic icon out there. I love a white font on a black background. Okay. So I downloaded this app, and what it is so basically it's a new simple game every day. It's just totally random. Like every day it's a totally new thing. It is the simplest gameplay you will ever experience in your life. It is like 2002 Shockwave, you know, kind of era gaming, except you're playing it on your phone. The games are responsive. These are not slow games. These are not crashy games. They are responsive. They're just really light in graphics, and they're different every single day. So you cannot get emotionally attached to it. You cannot get emotionally attached to any of these games, which, you know, and sometimes in this day and age, you don't want to get emotionally attached. So today's game was kind of hard. Actually, the thing that can be a little confusing is that you'll have a new game and you have absolutely no idea how to play it. You just kind of start touching the screen and then you try and guess. So in this one, I'm supposed to actually touch the screen to make this little red line move in synchronicity with the other one, and I wasn't paying attention. And so I lost. Earlier today, I'd actually hit a checkpoint while I was trying to play this game, and that's after I figured out how to play it. Again, it's a different game every day, so me demoing this to you doesn't really mean anything, because it's very possible. Well, you might see this. I imagine there are repeats from time to time, but it's kind of the gist of what's going on here. It's, you know, ooh, wow, there was blood spilling on that one. It's Salt, and it's supposed to help you live a different game life every day.
All right.
It's Salt.
There it is. Salt. Pretty cool.
Yeah. There are a couple options, but they're not. It's just to turn notifications off and on.
All right.
So
cool. Salt. All right. So Salt, you can vote for that in a moment. But first up, representing the guests, Cody.
Cody.
Tell us about your app.
Right,
Flo will show it off. And
all right. I went with a tried and true, like one of the Android, well, one of the mobile classics, mm-hmm. The Room 2. The Room was already a pick many, many moons ago on an old All About Android, and I just had to go with the sequel. in short, this is possibly one of the most bingeable puzzle games I've ever seen. I hate to put it this way, but like if you played The Room, you already know it's one of the best games that you can play on mobile. It's touch reactive. Everything you touch or everything you can see in the board is somehow something you can usually interact with. There's a kind of weird storyline to go with it. And it's just weirdly engaging. And almost everything that you play with in some way, shape, or form like leads you down this path to solving the puzzles. And for the most part, like this isn't something you have to be a genius puzzle solver to figure out. And if you're if you have a lot of trouble with it, frankly, you can almost kind of just start touching everything. But you'll spend hours working through certain puzzles if that's how you play it.
It gives me a little bit of a Myst feel.
Yeah, and it kind of had that. Not that I ever actually got around to playing Myst, but...
Well, I just showed my age there, but yeah.
Oh, no, Myst was in my time frame too. Just it was one of those that I missed.
Get it? I mean, I played Myst. I didn't like it. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, this looks great.
Yeah, but this was one of those. If I remember, I think when I first got it, I played through the whole thing in like two sittings. And then I went back and played the first one, and it was one sitting. Like, I just sat there for like 2 or 3 hours and played through every puzzle. I couldn't help it.
I'm enjoying watching Flo wrestle with this game.
Yeah, I'm trying to understand. Oh, there we go.
There you go.
That took me a second.
And fun fact, they actually have a sequel. It'll be the fourth one in the series is coming out. The company just acknowledged that they had it out on iOS. And in the next couple of months or so, they're going to be releasing on Android. So getting really close. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool.
So there you go.
The Room 2.
The Room
and that's $1.99 in the Google Play Store, but it's worth it. Pay your devs. Look at that. That's some beautiful graphics. That's good stuff. So very good. Thanks, Cody. All right, and last up in the arena is my entry. So last week I went a little finale. I went a little productive last week. So this week I'm going a little flashy. Notifications animations. I was just a goofy fun app. It's a little app that takes over that gives you little animated notifications in the lower right hand corner of your phone because sometimes it's fun to be notified of things. And it makes it a little more visual. And I just like what you can do with your phone now. Flo, you had downloaded this, right? You can install it. Yeah, so you see it there. Down. You see it there. It's very colorful, well-designed. What I do like, actually, Victor, if you can go back to the Google Play Store for a moment.
Yeah, well,
if you swipe through to their photos, they highlight the next slide there. You could see they have beautiful material design. Which okay. I like that they call that out, but Flo, you beautiful can see it is a colorful implementation of material design, which I do like.
Yeah.
But basically with this is you can identify which apps you want to whitelist. On the main screen of the app, you can, in the upper right hand corner, you can turn the notifications on or off, upper right hand corner, not left corner. There you go. So now they're turned on, and you can choose the type of animation you want. And with the free version, you get a bunch totally for free to start with. And in the lower right-hand corner, when you tap on that, they show you what it will do. So there's firework, there's playful, wave, holographic, and that's where it starts, where you need pro. And so if you do the in-app purchase to pay for it, you can get more animations. But let's try a go to your main screen, Flo. Don't you go to the home screen, like user app like normal? And I'm going to say, hello, Flo, on Allo, and you should get a notification. And it should dink. Oh, there you go. Demo fail. Did you not whitelist Allo there? Or?
Let's see.
Settings,
whitelist apps. That would help, probably. Sorry, y'all. Oh, yeah, it's whitelisted.
It is. Yeah. Oh, weird.
You might have to send me... I wonder if it's because my notifications are off.
Oh, there's Jason. We're testing an app.
Oh.
Here we go. Ready?
There. Well, it's not working.
Oh, yeah, just...
it's not working. Oh, maybe it's because I didn't select one. Yeah, okay, try again. Yes.
Select one. Okay, so...
Sorry.
Let's see. Go back to the home screen.
Nope.
Hang on. Wait. Oh, well. Anyway, it worked on my phone, and it worked lovely. So there you go. Demo fail.
Sorry.
There it is.
That was a Snapchat one.
You're getting Snapchat.
JJ sent me another Snapchat.
You are getting stuff there in the right-hand corner. And it gives the app icon, and it dances or whatever you select in the app. So you saw it. Cody saw it. So there you go.
Yes. No, I saw it.
Yep.
It was Snapchat. It's possible. There we go. There's a Snapchat one. Thanks, JJ.
It's very quick. So now, if you go back into the app, actually, go back into the settings of the app. You had it set very quick. So if you go to the left and go to the settings, what you can do is you can see show text after animation. So you can turn that on. and open notification on click, right? Just turn that on and slow down the animation. So pull it down to 0.5x or that way. We'll see that. Yeah.
Oh, see, nice.
Yeah, see, because well, there
okay.
it is.
Yay, we didn't fail the demo.
Yeah, demo savior. So there it is.
Yay.
So notification animation is totally free, a different way to approach your notifications. It's cool stuff. I dig it. So notification animations, it's totally free.
Google Thank Play you, Store. JJ.
Material design. Okay. That said, you can vote for these three apps in the arena. You can go to bit.ly/AAApoll361. That's bit.ly/AAApoll361. And you can vote for notifications, animations, salt, play something new every day, or the room two. And what is Victor going to vote for? My guess is the room.
Oh, yeah. And well, it's a good game.
Yep. So.
Fine. Cool. Don't play something new every day. Where's your life? It's going to be the same thing every day.
All right.
Yeah. Well, I don't either, but Jason had to go on vacation, so here we are.
Well, Cody, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Cody, you got anything that you want to plug to the audience? Plug yourself away. What would you like to plug? What are you working on? Is there anything you're excited about? What you up to? Oh,
I wish I came prepared with something to plug. At the moment, just I do teardowns like all the time. It's pretty much
you do.
That's what I do from when I wake up to when I go to sleep these days. But yeah, tons of work at Android Police.
What was the last thing you tore down? If you know off the top of your head.
Let's see. It strictly speaking, the Google app, so I could pull up the stuff for slices. Off the top of my head, I actually don't remember what it was I last looked at.
Cody does
whatever
so much
it was,
of it.
It didn't have anything in it, so I okay. already cleared that one off the board. But yeah. Always busy.
That's great.
I do have if for anyone who occasionally follows the site, I have started doing a series called Update Notes. It's basically teardowns and our regular like app update posts, but kind of for the stuff that slips through the cracks. So if you've ever seen The Daily Show, their whole news that slips through the cracks goes to Lewis Black. Same kind of idea.
Ron, cool. I really just want to thank you for being here today with me.
Sure. Hey, I'm here every week. Let's thank Cody for joining us, taking time out of his
evening.
Thank you
so much, Cody.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Cody.
Yes,
everyone can follow you on Twitter, right? You're at Cody Toombs with an underscore in there.
Yes.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you, Cody. We appreciate you coming
on
board.
I'm supposed to thank you. I'm supposed to thank the guests at the end of the show. That's how you courteously.
Trying to keep you honest, Lo. Doing my best.
Keep me honest.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter or on Instagram at RonXO. That's where my nonsense is there at any given time. And yeah, just fun stuff. Getting ready for baseball season. That's about it. So nothing too crazy or exciting. Trying to not pleased about the prospect of snow on the first day of spring. But what are you going to do? This is the life we chose. So,
I mean, what are you going to do? Well, thank you, Ron, for being here today to help guide me through this very difficult job of hosting the show
there.
When Jason's not here.
You're almost there. You just got to thank Victor next.
It's true. Victor, I just want to thank you for being on your toes today and, you know, for being here for me in my time of need.
No problem, Flo.
Thank you, Victor, for always having my back. Victor, do you have anything you want to plug while we're at it?
No.
All right.
And the end of the show is where the wheels come off. We've identified an hour and 50 minutes before we just go goofy. So,
well, you know, it's hard to say goodbye to everybody, but I'm going to say goodbye by saying thank you for being here today. And if you need to find me somewhere on the internet, you know that I'm on Twitter at OThatFlo. For now, come find me there. When Jason comes back, you know, maybe I'll take some time to plug a couple more things. I have nothing to plug right now except how great Ron is and how great Cody is. Support them. Aww. And also Victor. Victor's also great. That's it for this week. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for joining us today. Don't forget that we do have a voicemail hotline. So if you want to call in and leave us a voice message, we will gladly listen to it and see if we can help you. You can call us at 347-SHOW-AAA. That's 347-SHOW-AAA. You can also send us an email at AAA@twit.tv, or you can tweet us at Android Show, and we'll read your tweet. If you'd like to look up Arena Apps List to see what we've covered in the arena, that's twit.2/Android apps. And stats are also available at twit.2/arena stats. Show notes and past episodes are available at twit.tv/AAA. And you can come watch the show live if you'd like to sit here with us in the audience by emailing tickets at twit.tv. It's totally free. Come if you want. Come hang out with us. We always appreciate having a little audience here. Or you can catch us live from home. You don't even have to come here to Petaluma, on the stream every Tuesday starting kind of around 5 p.m. Pacific at twit.tv/live. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in this week. And we'll see you next week with more Android stuff. Bye-bye for now.
Well, Flo, you're tuned into the Earth's rotation and the time of year and little hippy dippy things like that, right?
Yes, I am.
So what is today?
Today is well, of course, it is the first day of Hoppity Hop Spring.
Yes, it is. It is the March equinox, and so to celebrate that, I have spring Oreos, which look very spring like.
Are those themed?
And they also look somewhat disturbing. They are Oreos. Well, first here on the box, it says always with real cocoa.
Oh.
So just so you know, in case you were curious, always.
Always
so,
real cocoa.
Yeah, always.
Okay.
And they have a little design. I'm going to open it now. They have a little design on the cookie to highlight spring with a little bumblebee. And the filling is yellow, which I don't know if it's a different flavor or what to expect. Here is the actual. Oh, this is fascinating. So it's a regular Oreo on one side, yellow filling, and on this side it says "Shine On," and it's a sun.
It says "Shine On."
Yes. So a couple additional notes. I tried to coordinate this with Flo, so I wasn't the only one eating the Oreo, but that didn't work. And number two, I'm doing this from New York City, where we are expected to get 16 inches of snow tonight and tomorrow. So,
we're getting pounded with a rainstorm right now, actually.
Pounded with a rainstorm, 16 inches of snow.
Sorry.
First day of spring.
In drought-ridden California.
All right. All right. So we're going to dive into the spring-themed Oreo with the yellow filling. Flo, you can fill while I eat.
Okay. Okay. So Ron is biting into his cookie, and I wonder if it's going to taste lemon limey, if it's going to taste maybe like a sunflower seed, or, you know.
I feel like I'm looking forward to marshmallow flavor.
Or maybe a marshmallow.
You know, kind of follow the Peeps look.
Really? Marshmallow? I feel like that's phoning it in for Oreo, though, because they already do the Peeps variety.
Now, before
before
I tell you what I think of it, also on the front of the box, it says yellow cream, same taste.
Oh.
So, and it says four fun spring designs. So the allure of this spring Oreos is not the taste. It's the design of the cookie and the fact that the cream is not white, it's yellow, but it tastes exactly the same.
All right. So it's cream filling with yellow five, essentially.
Yeah. I'm trying to isolate if the yellow cream tastes different because it's colored. If I'm getting a little bit of a metallic, false taste. Yeah. But I think that might be because he's been sitting in my closet for 3 weeks. So that could be that.
Oh my God. 3 weeks.
Oh, I picked them up in Target. Yeah. In February. Yeah. So that's about right.
Wow.
So these are not marshmallow flavored. That would be the Peeps variety, which I believe we're going to do next week. So
I'm a little jealous that you get to enjoy a whole pack of regular special themed Oreos on your own. Whereas
so that is the second design, and it's a little happy face with sunglasses. Dude.
Oh my gosh. I love it so
awesome.
Much.
Yeah. So here's the thing. We've given regular Oreos a perfect 10.
It's true. And these have extra.
These are regular Oreos with cool designs. So I think we might have our first 11. I've got to give it an 11. I'm going to give it a full.
You said it's a little metallic-y on the inside, though.
No, it tastes the same. It's okay. I'm going to give it an 11. There you go. And that's purely because I'm hoping that these Oreos will fend off the snowstorm that I'm going to have to walk to work through tomorrow. So
just eat a whole sleeve, Ron.
Yeah. Oh, God. What's great about this now is because my wife wants nothing to do with these. She's like, get them out of the house as quickly as possible. So I bring them to the office and they get devoured by the minions. So that works out nicely. All right. Spring Oreos. I give it yellow filling and all. I give it an 11.
Wow. So, 11. All right. I'm going to let that one pass through because I really want to see Jason's reaction to when he comes back and sees that we've given an Oreo an 11.
I mean, it's just a regular Oreo with cool designs. It's better.
Yeah, and one of the designs is a smiling sun with sunglasses.
Let me see if I can find the other two designs. Now, I probably should have, maybe 11 was too generous, but maybe it should have been a 10.5, but I've got no regrets. All right, here's the other design, and this is a flower, and it says, love me.
Love me?
It says, oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, no, it just says love. It says one side says love me and the other side says love me not.
Oh, okay. That's cold. Hey,
love me not. All right. And then
it's kind of a needy Oreo.
Yeah.
It's a little codependent Oreo, let's be honest. But we're going to go out on a high note with the bumblebee.
Yeah.
From the cover artwork. So
that was on the cover. Yeah.
Yep. That design. Good job on Oreo. You got that whole canvas of the Oreo cookie. Paint on it. Do something with it. Good job, Oreo. Nabisco, you're innovating. You're disrupting cookie technology. I like disrupt cookie. Hashtag disrupt cookie, everyone.
They're going to use that in their next marketing. Ron Richards of All That Android said.
Oh, really?
Oh, hashtag disrupt cookie.
Okay, here's a scoring thought. How about 10 with a star?
Alex suggested 10 just... plus.
Okay.
Is Alex saying 10 plus?
Yes.
No, it's an 11, Alex. I gave it an 11. The ruling happened.
it's an 11.